The views and opinions expressed by the hosts on MadisonTalks.com are those of the host. That's why we do it. Give us a call, 608-210-1667. Thanks for listening.
James Kademan, a business coach in Madison, the owner of Calls on Call, a phone answering service for dozens of businesses from one location. A public speaker to smiling faces everywhere, an all-around nice guy. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, business coach extraordinaire, James Kademan.
Hey, what is going on? This is James Kademan of Draughton Customers Business Coaching, as well as Calls on Call. I am broadcasting to the universe, and you are lucky enough to listen to me right now. Today, it is, Wednesday. And we're going to try to cover a whole bunch of topics in business today as fast as we can, and I'm hoping that I can keep your interest, keep a smile on your face, and have you enjoy what you're doing. With me today, I have Mitch Hank, the illustrious, the good-looking, and the world-dominating power in radio. Right?
I haven't been calling that in years. It's been at least 40, but thanks.
Yeah, right. So, Mitch, I want to chat with you a little bit because I got a speech coming up, and I want to bounce some ideas off you, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
The speech is actually about minutia in business.
Paying the bills?
It's more the time management portion. It seems like a lot of people get stuck with just so much to do. I call it the rabbit hole.
Spinning their wheels, maybe?
Spinning their wheels, yep. They get stuck on the internet, poking around, not listening to high-quality podcasts like this.
Yes.
Going down a Facebook hole or searching for something, maybe poking around on Amazon.
Wasting time.
And then at the end of the day, they didn't get anything of merit done, and they wonder why they're having to work.
That is a problem.
60, 70 hours a week, right?
Yes.
So I got to challenge people to fix that. And sometimes when you challenge people, they don't like that.
Yeah, right? What's that all about?
You're telling them that they do it wrong, right? Same way.
Truth hurts.
Telling people to lose weight, right?
Bring that up, yeah.
that's universal, right? We just lost half our audience. Lose weight. So the idea with minutia in business is that a lot of times people get stuck doing stuff, right? And they're replacing or considering that activity is actually work, right? That there's going to be a result from that. And a lot of times, just because you're busy doesn't mean that you're actually making money from that busyness.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to ask yourself a simple question like something as simple as, is this making me money? Or is this for the benefit of mankind? Or is this going to help me? Will this matter in 3 years? And chances are, if you're on social media, the answer is no. If you're wasting time on Amazon, probably the answer is no.
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, perfect, right?
Yeah.
So there's a rabbit hole with internet, right? There's tons of stuff, but there's certainly stuff that people had before the internet that can get stuck doing stuff, right?
What do people do in those days?
Did they actually get stuck
doing? How do they live?
I promise you there's someone 20 years ago, pre-major internet, right, that was wasting time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're just chatting. I used to have the printer repair company, right? And I would go and I would be fixing a printer and I would soon have a small army of people around me, just employees from whatever business I was at.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you guys are all getting paid more than me. And all you're doing is sitting around sipping your coffee, asking me questions about this machine you don't care about.
Right.
What are you...
Wasting time.
What are you doing? Yeah. And then I thought about it, who's winning here? Maybe they got it figured out. I have my own business, right? I was a successful businessman.
Yeah.
But here I was, elbows deep in a machine with a crowd that was getting paid.
You had an audience.
Yeah. And I had, they're just like, what's that?
Making copies with Mr. Kademan.
Exactly. You got it. And I'm assuming not all of the people were hoping for the machine to be working soon, because that would mean that they'd have to get back to work.
Exactly, yeah.
But I felt like, here we got, let's just take an average, they're probably making an average 60 grand a year, right? So they're there for the better part of a half hour, 45 minutes. Yeah. We could probably get $500 rolling around on top of what I was charging.
We're going to make sure their boss hears this podcast.
I wonder, oh my goodness gracious, we got a lot of wasted time going on here. And I'm assuming that if their boss rolled in, they would quickly find their little hole and get back into it. But
sure.
That was not the case, and it was weird that happened a lot.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Sure, yeah.
So maybe it's just a lot of people are just overemployed, right? I don't know if we can solve that. That's not a problem.
Yeah, go sell that, right?
Right. Another thing I guess I mentioned about it, the rabbit hole, right? So people get stuck in that rabbit hole. When I say rabbit hole, I mean you have your to-do list, right? You got your, let's call it 5 to 5 million things that you have to do that you say you're going to do for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you start out and you're just like, number one, check, did that, right? Brush my teeth, boom.
You write that down even?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting you ask that because some people like to write down stuff that they know they're going to get done because then they can cross it off.
Boy.
So the psychology of looking at the to-do list and look, I did half my stuff. Look, I unlocked the door. I drove to work. I brushed my teeth. I even put my pants on today. Look at all that I've accomplished, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at that to-do list, you can say, holy cow, I got all this stuff done, when most of the stuff you're going to get done anyways, right?
Trivial stuff.
The power of habit, right? Yeah. So what you want to look at is that to-do list. You start on that to-do list, and let's say you get on your computer, and you got one of your things to do is clean out my inbox, right? My inbox is full. I like to have it empty. Every Thursday afternoon, I want my inbox to be inbox zero. If it's not inbox zero, I got a problem. It's just lurking over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, a lot of people email me Friday morning, I think, because they know that, so it's just mean. But at any rate, there's that moment in time for that one moment during the week that I'm at inbox zero. So sometimes when you're going to clean out that inbox, you find like, oh, I got to answer this email. I got to do a little research. Maybe I got to look back in some notes or I got to do some stuff, right?
No.
And so you open up Google and Google connects with pretty much everything,
oh,
right?
Good Lord, yeah.
So then you type in something and you're like, oh, this is an interesting link. Let me go down here. And pretty soon 20 minutes, a half hour, 2 hours have passed.
Gone.
And I still got to figure out what I'm doing for that email. But I did not have run down rabbit hole and waste a bunch of time on Google on my to-do list.
So no, you left that out.
Right. So the question that I have for myself is this a rabbit hole? And I have to ask myself, I actually have a sign on my office right above my monitor says, is this a rabbit hole? So then when you're, you know, because every once in a while you do a search, right? And it takes a fraction of a second for the search to come back. That fraction of a second is enough time for me to look up and be like, oh, this is a rabbit hole. And for, you know, you get the little bit where you look at it and you're like, no, this will just take a moment. And then you're like,
oh God, yeah.
Bullshit, this is going to take forever. I don't know if we can swear in this podcast, but.
Well, you can, it's the internet.
Today we are, right? So at any rate, beware the rabbit hole, right? Another thing I want to talk about is always, I'm big brother, right? Big brothers, big sisters.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I got a 17-year-old little brother. If it's something that you've been considering doing, it's something I would recommend, right? It's awesome. It's cool kids. This kid, he just took the ACT yesterday. I don't know if you ever took the ACT.
Yes.
A lot of people, yep. It's a terrible, crazy, annoying, like, I don't know, 80-hour test or something like that. I think it's 4 hours. Maybe off and on. They
I had a good finish early so I can get to a game, I recall.
Right, there you go. Nice. We got priorities here.
Yeah.
So it's weird because they have this test, and the results of that test kind of lead you to either what school you're going to go to or where you think that you have some skills and some talents. And they don't test for art or experience. It's all like, hey, what do you think of this science problem? What do you think of this math problem? So still important stuff, but it's one test at one moment in time when you're 17 or whatever years old, right?
Yeah.
And that can, like, so much these kids are told is just pivoting on that test. And so one of the problems that I had in taking these tests, just these standardized tests or any test really, anytime somebody asks me if I have knowledge, I'm like, yes. And then they try to test me and I'm like, ah, I cram up, right? So a terrible time to see if you're smart is a test.
Yeah,
for me,
right?
So I was trying to help this kid find a way to gain some confidence. All right, so I want to practice something with you if you're cool with it.
Oh, good Lord, I'm all game.
All right, because a lot of times with tests, right, something like this, you're in a nerve-wracking room for 4 to 8 hours in probably the most mundane-looking room you can possibly have. It's just not a nourishing climate, right?
Right, yeah.
So I wanted him to get a little bit of psychology going to give him some confidence so that if he had the answer, he actually had the knowledge in his mind somewhere, that he would have the confidence to be able to find it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So you want to go down this road with me?
Oh, sure.
I'm excited. All right. So you guys at home or in your car, you can do this too. If you're in your car, we're going to do some physical stuff. So just use your judgment.
Can you ask about basketball or politics? No.
No. That's a rabbit hole.
Well.
That's totally a rabbit hole.
Burton hole for me, but go ahead. Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. What is a moment in time in your entire life that you have been the most confident you have ever been? Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, you're at least a 9.
I would say doing the show, the
All
radio
right.
show.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So you've been doing it for a long time, right?
Yes.
All right. So a long time being like decades.
15 years.
I'll call that a long time. That's the beginning of radio back then, right?
Yeah, right. Marconi.
So 15 years is a long time. So you got confidence from doing that from experience, right? Okay, so I want you to think...
Yes, I'm nodding, which it's audio.
Sure, right. That's perfect. We can hear you. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to hold your left hand out, right? And I want you to take your right hand, and we're going to do something... you know how you got that skin between your thumb and your pointer finger?
Yeah.
Okay, so on your left hand, I want you to spread your pointer finger and your thumb apart so you can see that kind of flap of skin. Studio guy, you can do this too. It's awesome. All right, now I want you to take your pointer finger and your thumb from your right hand, and you guys at home, I want you to do this too, right? And I want you to think of a time when you were the most confident that you have ever been, like when you were just in the zone, right? Whether it's playing music, whether it's on the air, whether it's with your best spouse or whatever, something like that, where you're just in the zone. You couldn't be stopped.
Your best spouse, yes.
You were, well... There's the worst one. That'd be a different story.
I understand,
that's
yeah.
a rabbit hole again. So, okay, you take that flap, and I want you to think of that. Close your eyes. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. Just imagine this. And just think of the most intense, the most confident that you have ever been. And while you're thinking of that, I want you to pinch gently that skin on your left hand between your pointer finger and your thumb. And just kind of rub it gently, right? Just with your right hand, your pointer finger and your thumb from your right hand should be gradually massaging that skin between your thumb and your pointer finger on your left hand. And just, I want you to take that confidence level, and I want you to make the, you got that image of your confidence, I want you to make that image brighter while you're kind of massaging that skin. And then I want you to make that picture bigger. And just think, see, you got a grin there. I can tell you, you're getting even more confident. That's perfect. I love it. Now, I want you, as you're massaging that skin, I want you to take that confidence level, and I just want you to bump it up a notch. Let's call it 20%. Even more confident than you thought you could possibly be. Just expand it out a little bit while you're rubbing that skin. Just massage it. It's easy. You think you are the most confident. In fact, you think that it wasn't that hard to bump it up 20%, right? What if while we're massaging the skin here, we bumped our confidence level up another 20%? So now we're actually at let's call it around 135, 140% of where we were before, above what we thought we could do. And while you're rubbing that skin, right? And it's just gentle massage while you're feeling that confidence. Now I want you to let up for a little bit. Just release your hands. And I want you to tell me, how do you feel?
Good.
Good. You feeling confident?
I thought of two other moments.
That's perfect. That's perfect. So you guys as well, the listeners, I hope you did that as well. This is just something that we're setting in motion. We're setting essentially a feeling, and we're connecting that feeling to something physical that you can do. And it's something physical that you can do without anybody really noticing, right? Like right now, Mitch, you can take your fingers on your right hand, and you can rub that little thumb to finger skin, and you can kind of feel that confidence boost back up, right? So now we're going to test it. We're going to challenge it. I want you to think of a time when you were not confident, when you were scared to the point of having gross pit stains and maybe shaky legs, let's call it. And just like,
oh, I have that moment.
Everybody's had them, right? Maybe it's the first time you go on stage. Maybe it's, maybe it's the first time you're thinking of asking a girl out. Maybe it's you have to make that one phone call to that client that's been a little rough to deal with, but they're actually half of your business. So you're like, how am I going to figure this out, right? Maybe it's just that you got to call your mom and you know that she's going to be pissed because you haven't talked to her in 2 years. I don't know what your story is, but everyone's had that, right? So hold on. I want you to stop rubbing your finger right now. Hold on. And I want you to go over and I want you on your left hand, I want you to pull your pointer finger with all of your fingers from your right hand. So you got your left hand, right? You got that pointer finger on your left hand.
Oh, yeah.
Pointer finger on your left hand. I want you to grab with your right hand as if you're shaking that left pointer finger. And I want you to kind of pull on that, a little tense, right? But I want you to do that while you're thinking that you're not confident. Mm-hmm. And I want you to just think that you're just scared, right? What is a moment when you're the least confident?
When I was with my sister in high school and we did this parody on Donnie and Marie because we were Carrie and Mitch and in front of the whole school gym at a pep rally, and I supposed to sing, and I was frozen solid like an iceberg.
Perfect, perfect.
And she sang, and I just kind of, and I was horrible.
That's fantastic.
I was
fantastic.
18 or whatever. Yeah, it was awful.
So scale of 1 to 10, 10 being super confident, 1 being...
That was 0, and my friend Mark Stewart said, Mitch, you sucked.
That's fantastic.
That's a bad moment.
All right, so while you're just kind of pulling that finger a little tough, I want you to just take that self-confidence and I want you to drop it even down further. Right?
Below that?
Below that.
Oh, my God.
So now I want you to get it so that you're, let's just call it on a scale of 1 to 10, you're negative 5 in the confidence scale.
Okay, well, I have another moment, but it's probably not
scared to leave the house. Right?
A family show. Fair.
Nobody said this is a family show. We'll call this a safe place. We're cool, right?
Good point. Yeah.
Just to make sure, we'll be like, "Fuck yeah!" Okay.
Well, so yeah, we
cleared off the people.
The first podcast, but go ahead.
This is how we do it. Okay, so now while you're feeling that, let's call it negative 5. I want you to go back and rub that skin on your left hand. And bring back that confidence. Look at that. That's perfect, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Now, tell me, how fast could you make that change?
It was real fast. I was racing away from the earlier thought.
It was in an instant, right?
Yeah, right.
So now, studio guy, Mitch. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, studio guy.
Mike.
Mike. Okay, perfect. We got Mike. We got Mitch. We got all you guys listening. This is what you can use from now on to build your confidence at any moment that you're not feeling confident. And all you got to do is rub the little skin there between your...
I like it.
On your left hand, between your thumb and your pointer finger, right? Nobody will notice it. They'll be like, what are you doing, right? And I'll be like, building my confidence. What are you doing? They won't notice it, right? You can do that. If you need to, you can just do it behind your back. It's quick. It's a moment. You don't have to keep it up. It's just a quick boom. And just like that, you can have the confidence that's above and beyond what you expected.
Do you actually care about what my moments were of confidence, or is that image? That's immaterial.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't matter.
You're so right. Yeah.
All that you want to care about is I need to be confident now. This is how I do it, right? Let's just say you're going in front of court to talk to the IRS. Great time to use that, right?
That would work, yeah. That'd be a good time.
They'd be like, what are you doing, Mr. Hink? So let's chat a little bit about some other stuff you got going on.
Okay.
Tell me, what is the biggest challenge that you have in your business right now?
I would say marketing, creating awareness, that kind of thing.
Perfect, perfect.
Changing behavior of people you want to change.
Behavior, okay.
Whose behavior you want to change? Well, you want people to come to the culture of listening to us and, you know, finding us and so forth.
Sure, sure.
So that's the part, you know, the redcoats are coming, you know, you got to get the word out. Yeah.
Right, I get you. So anytime I ask that question, there's always one of two answers that I get, typically. First one is employees, and second one is marketing. So marketing, there's actually a ton of stuff that you can do. So are you interested? Should we chat about that a little bit?
Please. Yeah, this is great. I'm just on the couch.
So let me get my notebook here and see
what
we can do.
I've got my notebook right here, yeah.
Okay, so let me tell you, or let me ask you, I should say, what have you done so far?
We have, I've just called a lot of people. You know, we're building brick by brick with podcasters, and we have regulars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very important part of the business, getting podcasters. But we're now rethinking our sales strategy.
Sure.
To utilize more of a visual marketing strategy with the internet, being print on the internet.
Sure.
And then supplementing that with an ad in the show, and then maybe even having the owner in the banner ad with a link or a landing space so the owner can talk about the business and have his picture or her picture there.
Right.
All of that together, and also hitting the local scene a little harder. All those thoughts are coming into our heads here.
Okay, sure. Have you acted on any of those?
Yes, but I had this sort of life-changing phone call from a very nationally skilled voice in this area yesterday. So I'm brimming with all this... these ideas for 24 hours.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Well, unless you want to sleep, then not ideal. But let's make it 18. We'll be cool.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just a fresh and new thought process for us. But it makes perfect sense. So I'm excited.
Nice.
Because if you do national news, what are you going to do? Sell national spots? I don't think so.
Sure.
So if you do local stuff, the people who provide the local news want to hear it.
Right.
They want to be on and hear themselves and tell their friends. That's the idea. Whether it's high school sports, you know, we're doing the ball game. You can hear your son or daughter on this website.
Right.
Whereas they wouldn't have any other place, right?
Right.
So those are the thoughts that we're dwelling on right now.
So let me, do you mind if I challenge you a little bit there?
Yes, please.
All right. So tell me, who is your competition in regards to...
I guess radio and newspapers.
Okay. Okay.
But we can do things they can't do. We can go without commercials if we want. We can, you can listen 24/7, or is there on a certain time? Well, they may have a podcast availability too.
Sure.
But kids under 30, I call them kids, they don't listen or watch anything in real time now.
Sure.
It's all when they want on their phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's why the Olympics ratings were so bad, because nobody would sit and watch it when it was on.
Sure.
It was always a different time.
Sure.
So we're into that culture every day more and more.
Right. We want 10-second clips. Right.
So we're trying to seize on that.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a online radio / podcasting service.
Sure.
And so we're in the beginning stages. And
so that means that your competition actually goes national, if not international.
Well, I wouldn't say so. I guess we're not really competing. I guess we can be seen as an international source, because you can hear our shows all over the world.
But sure.
True of probably any radio station. So we're doing a service. We have to find a niche, unlike their service. They have a lot of have commercials every 2 minutes.
Sure.
Right. Which can be very irritating to the listener.
Completely.
Or the viewer. And so, and we can run those, but we also have this other idea that we can minimize that.
Sure.
So.
All right. I feel like we got a couple things to chat about here. One of them is, I think that you're disregarding a lot of your other competition, because your competition as a podcast, there's, I don't know, at last count, 5 billion podcasts.
Well,
out
sure,
there,
yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, and with the internet, any, let's say, 30-year-old kid, 40-year-old man, woman, child, whatever, could listen to those other podcasts as well, right?
Very true, yeah.
So we got a lot of competition.
True. So our niche would have to be different from theirs.
Perfect.
In the sense of local newsmakers and sportsmakers local.
Perfect. So chowing down the Madison area, right?
I think that has to happen, yeah.
Okay. And from that regard, you have a few local radio stations, I suppose. You got some TV stations. And do kids under 30 read the newspaper anymore?
No.
No.
No. That's right.
I mean, like, when I go online to the little newspaper app and an ad comes up right away, I'm like, eh, I'm not that important. It's the story of
right.
Come and go, right?
So
I don't need to care about this.
So you seem to suggest we should target our marketing to younger people.
Not necessarily. Possibly. I think it depends who – let me back up a step. It depends who or how you make money, right? You make money based on ad revenue.
Podcasts. Bodies.
So, podcast
it's like
bodies.
It's like a tennis court on the resort. We have the court from 6 to 7. You have it from 7 to 8.
Sure.
You better not go over your time, because the person will be bad.
right.
That stockbroker from New York is going to be really upset.
Sure.
I have the court at 7.
Get off.
So if we fill up the court through the week with bodies, we'll be okay.
Okay, so it's bodies, not necessarily advertisers.
Well, that's the first focus would be bodies, then the advertising really is like the deck chairs on the Titanic. You have to have them. But
All right.
You need the engine room.
So it's a little frosting, but okay, you're going after engine room. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So when someone like me comes on here to do a podcast, we're hoping that you...
Well, you're doing a radio show now, live. You're doing an online radio show.
Nice, okay.
Because you're live.
Perfect.
And you can be rebroadcast on the website.
All right.
But your show will be then logged and forever posted as a podcast forever.
Perfect. So that means that anybody at any time after this moment can listen to this, right?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
And it costs them nothing, right?
Correct.
They just find the link, listen away, and away you go, right? You're a smarter person because you listen to this right now. Just like
well,
that.
Well, a lot of people want to start a business, so you have a niche by itself.
Perfect. So do you have an audience already, like a foundation?
Oh, yeah, we do. And it, we have, it's hundreds, not thousands right now. But
yet, currently? I like how you said right now. That's perfect.
Correct, yes.
I guess some people say I got an audience of hundreds. Like, is it going to change?
But it can be thousands. It can be millions.
Sure, totally. Mm-hmm. So my challenge to you, I guess, is to consider what would 100% capacity be?
Of
from
what?
From your audience. Like Madison area, you're limited to what, a couple hundred thousand metro-ish?
400,000.
400,000? Okay.
Total.
Okay.
But nobody has that, even in terrestrial radio, so you're dealing with a smaller universe.
Sure, because you got
obviously
infants and you got people that don't have internet.
I don't know that it's really quantity as much as it is quality right now for us, because we're trying to build an army of followers.
Sure.
Who are well-placed.
Okay. All right.
It's like the Masters, the golf. Mm-hmm. You know, who are their sponsors? Timex.
Sure.
Cadillac.
Sure.
Well, the viewers may be smaller than the Super Bowl, obviously,
right,
but their viewers are choice.
Sure.
They're watching the Masters.
Right, right.
They're not watching Monster Truck. Not
right.
to say that's a bad thing.
Sure.
But chances are their viewers might have more money.
Fair.
Hence Cadillac and Timex.
So what you want for your crew.
We have people that are invested in local politics, news,
mm-hmm.
Or sports, or what. Those are our people.
Sure.
We're not getting the people that you were saying earlier wanted to just go down the rabbit hole and
sure, fly down.
Watch reruns of Beavis and Butthead on YouTube.
You would be surprised, right?
Maybe we want that person, yeah.
Well, it depends if they have a wallet and they can attract other podcasters to you.
That's true. Good point.
So in the end, if that's what you want, right? That's
we what do you want that. Yes, we want the Beavis and Butthead person. Yes, we do.
Well, Beavis and Butthead people, I mean, that's my generation. Now my generation, we're becoming the midlife crisis people. So
I've been with that for decades. But, yeah.
We're just on the cusp, like.
No, everybody is wanted.
Sure.
Way, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So let me. I got so many notes that I didn't organize my stuff at all because I thought we can just chat and have fun.
Well,
with
we can
this,
always
right?
do a promo too. Take a breath at some point.
Yeah. Should we do a promo? Why not? Right.
Yeah, it's only about a minute and a half. So we can do that.
Oh, all right.
Get your train of thought back.
I got so much that I want to chat about here. It's tough.
Okay, well, there you have it.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Hey, what is going on? This is James Kademan again with Draughton Customers Business Coaching. I got Mitch Hank in the studio, and I also have Mike, the man with the dials, taking care of business, trying to make me sound good. He's got a lot of work to do. We just ran down a little bit of a rabbit hole that we warned against, talking with Mitch and marketing and all that jazz. And I wanted, if there's anybody out there that's got the inclination, I'm going to give you guys a phone number. Feel free, right? We can do that.
Yes.
Right? We got mad power here. Technology, wonderful. 608-210-1667. Again, that's 608-210-1667. If you feel inclined to call in to
a live... Did you tell anybody you're going to be on is the question.
You know, the world will know. I threw it on Facebook to...
Oh,
you
yes.
know,
well, that's good.
My
that's
three
good.
Followers
you're,
or whatever.
You're smart.
So.
You're natural.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. If no one calls in, we can talk for hours. So.
Yeah, sure.
If somebody calls in, it'd be kind of fun, right? So, whatever. Let's keep talking about... I got something here in front of me. It says business equals freedom, or does it? So you have had your own business essentially, right, for a very long time now.
Well, since we started in October of 14, after my previous career,
sure,
found a jolt happened. Well, it was a long story, but yeah, since about that time, right.
So you could have gone to work for someone else, right?
Sure.
All right. But you didn't. Tell me why.
But because I found people who wanted to help me stay in the biz, so to speak, or stay
right.
on the air, as
sure.
they say. So I'm still holding on. You know, it's
all
like
right.
the high school kid that can't ever graduate.
He sure.
comes back to the games with his letter sweater. He's 23. so yeah. I'm still avoiding real work.
All right. So does that mean that with your business that you have right now, does it equal freedom?
Well, that's why I can leave and do what I want, but there's always the pressing stress of, you know, being broke in 10 days. So,
sure.
You know,
Sure. There's that for a lot of business owners.
There is that.
Hopefully, after 15 years, you still don't have that issue. But
well, no, this new thing has only been since November.
I mean, sure.
No, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I've been in business, but this current business has been in place for like 3 months or 2 months or whatever. Yeah.
Well, then that's the thing, right? Business is just...
Yeah. I mean, we're at the very embryonic stage.
Right, right. Making money out of the gate with most businesses is
there's a
not
call.
A thing, right?
You got a call. See, the Facebook thing worked.
All right. Well, let's see
three
what's going
cheers
on
for
here.
Facebook.
Woot, woot, woot. Yeah, see, we just insulted them with a rabbit hole, and here we go. They brought it in.
Oh, so I'm curious now.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, could you be more free with your business?
More free?
Yeah. What would you do to get more freedom in your business?
Make more money.
Make more money? All right. What else?
Maybe reorganize my day, I guess. You know, you're telling me I should improve the time management.
Well, I say that to say that I bet... All right. I'll tell you what. Let's take a pause and let's talk to our caller.
We have Stu on the line.
Stu, how you doing?
Good, James. How are you, buddy?
I am doing tip-top.
You know what? Your Facebook did work.
It did
that's
work.
Where I decided to tune in.
People are on the social media every once in a while. What can I do for you, Stu?
You know, I was listening to you guys just talk right now because you know our business. And, you know, being in business does give you freedom. I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years.
Nice. Congrats.
Career, multiple businesses, including now. And it does give you freedom. It gives you freedom to choose who you want as clients. It gives you freedom for time with family and friends. It gives you potential financial freedom if you're good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives you a lot of freedom. But there's also those times as an entrepreneur where you have no freedom, especially in the startup stages. You know
sure.
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's where I am right now, Stu. So I'm glad to see you're doing well.
So how would you feel?
You know what? I fell under a lucky apple tree. I've been hit on the head a few times.
Nice. Nice.
But, you know, I've had much more failures than I've had successes.
That's any smart business owner that's honest will probably tell you the same thing.
Right. I've probably had 10 failures to every one success that I've had. But, I'm just kind of listening to what you guys are talking about and, you know, I wanted to be the one person that actually called in.
Sure, I appreciate that, Stu. That means that it's not just...
I'm very kind of you.
Every once in a while, when I do a podcast, I think it's like Twitter, where it's a lot of people talking and not a whole lot of people listening. So I appreciate the call.
Twitter has like that 5-second childhood attention span.
Yeah, yep.
Twitter is ADD for social media.
It is, it is.
All right.
Another whole rabbit hole, right? Well, yeah, I appreciate you calling, Stu.
Not a problem, James. I will talk to you guys soon. I'm going to keep listening, so I may call in with another comment.
Perfect. Well, we'll keep talking. This is all good.
All right. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Sounds good. Thanks, Stu. Yeah, so freedom in business. Because I was talking to a business owner actually yesterday. Business owner is working between 40 and 60 hours a week, pulling in, let's call it, $80,000 a year. So decent. But he's not able to spend a lot of time with his family because the hours that he has to work and the hours that the kids are available, right, at night.
It's a trade-off for him.
It's tough, right? And he's got this vision of the future that's not really written down. It's kind of one of those dreams.
Yes.
It's like, oh, eventually my business will be better so that I don't have to work so hard so that I can spend more time with my kids, right?
But maybe it isn't because he didn't write it down. Is that the point?
Well, it's just like saying I'm going to lose weight, right? What does that mean?
Nothing.
So, I mean, you walked up the stairs, you lost a micron of water, so you lost weight, right? But you didn't define what that means, right?
Where's the plan?
Yeah, so it's just like saying, I'm going to be rich someday. What is rich? Or I'm going to be successful someday. If it's not defined, then it's meaningless.
Very
if it's not
true.
Written down, if you're not even willing to take the time to write something down, it's probably not going to happen.
Not going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's one of the reasons why people like email or Twitter or Facebook or something like that, because it's essentially in writing. So I had one woman I was talking to, she was actually considering quitting smoking.
Considering it.
So that's funny. It's funny you laugh at that because that's how she presented it.
Right.
At any rate, it was interesting because this was a business coaching session, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times people ask me, are you a life coach? And I'm like, no, I'm not a life coach. However, business and life are essentially, they coincide, right? Because without life, it turns out you can't really have much of a business. And, you know, so the business coach thing and the life coach thing they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, intertwined.
Yeah, so sometimes we go down that road, and she was talking about the cigarette thing and how it was getting in her way and how it was kind of annoying, but it was also, there's a reason that she smokes.
Yeah, right? She likes to smoke.
Yeah, from what I understand, maybe, kind of. I think she's been doing it for so long. That's just ingrained. It's a habit, right? So we started to go down that, and like, is this really a freedom thing? Like, what are you gaining from this? And how 20 years ago when you started doing this, 25, whatever, you were cool, right? You were hip. And it was kind of the end thing. It's weird. You watch movies from the 70s or 80s now when people are smoking. And now you watch movies and it's rare except for like the bad guy, right? The bad guy with the bad goatee or soul patch, whatever.
They've demonized smoking.
Yes, that's how you know he's the bad guy. He's got a cigarette.
Oh, my God, a cigarette. Yeah.
So it's interesting how it just evolves like that. Anyways, we're going down. We're talking about the whole freedom thing. Going back to the guy. Talking about me going on rabbit holes. Holy cow. Bam. So the guy.
Stream of consciousness.
With the freedom. With the freedom thing, you reminded me of going to see Thanksgiving dinner, right? You go to Thanksgiving dinner, you see all your cousins and your nephews and nieces running around, and then you see them at Christmas, and then you don't see them again until maybe Thanksgiving the next year, right?
Right.
And you assume that they just stay the same height and the same maturity and the same age, essentially, right? But you got a 5-year-old kid, the next year you see them, they're a 6-year-old kid, and pretty soon they're an 8-year-old kid. Where you and I, we see each other every once in a while, and we haven't really changed much, right?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't changed between a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. Well, that's a dramatic change.
Right.
So sometimes it's out of our head. We're not really thinking about it all the time. That if we're not conscious of this stuff, it'll kind of consume you, and you don't even know
it. Yeah, you lose control. It controls you.
Yeah, so you have to kind of remember, life outside of what I can see is actually going to go on regardless of if I acknowledge it or not.
I like bread, but bread doesn't like me.
Well, maybe it does, but maybe your body's not such a huge fan, right? So your taste buds like bread.
Yes.
And your brain likes bread, right?
But the mirror doesn't like bread.
But the mirror doesn't like bread, and I imagine there's some part of your brain that's not such a huge fan, right?
Correct.
But there's a happiness factor there, right?
Short-lived.
You don't put on your to-do list, eat bread.
No.
Maybe. I don't know. Cross it off again. But you know that it's going to make you happy, right? Even if it's short-lived, it's still happy.
That's true, yes. That or other things. You know, not heroin, but chocolate or
Right. So in the end, else. I mean, we're all conditioned that immediate gratification.
That's right, yeah.
Right? We're going after that.
Which can be tied to stress level.
Totally. No. Totally. Because you're eating your bread, so you're happy for a moment, right? And how long does that moment last? 10 seconds?
6 seconds.
6 seconds.
Maybe less.
All right. But
then the shame lasts a long time.
Perfect.
The shame, the guilt, the anger, all that lasts much longer.
So what if you were to flip that around? Not eat the bread, as an example. Eat something else, a carrot or whatever, right?
Apple.
I'm not a dietitian, so I'm just assuming the carrot's going to replace it, right?
Believe me, as I know.
So let's just say you are giving up that 6 seconds of pleasure in exchange for essentially limitless pleasure.
Life of... Yes. Short-term pleasure, short-term pain for long-term pleasure.
Right,
as opposed to short-term pleasure for long-term pain.
So it's a whole nothing tastes as good as healthy feels, right?
Yes.
Except for maybe ice cream every once in a while because ice cream is awesome.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's times that I can understand overeating. I totally get that. But on the flip side, the pain of having to deal with all the health issues and stuff like that.
Health and emotional and psychological.
Yeah.
Dating and all those things, yeah.
I was sitting around, they have the whole, you kind of become who you hang out with, right? Or in this case, we'll call it who you listen to. That's why you guys are going to be awesome. But I was sitting at a table, we're at this bar with some friends. I got 6 friends with me, and I got my little brother with me. And we're sitting around, we're just chatting, right? Just a few guys talking, having some dinner. And they're going around, and they're like, I have sleep apnea. And the other one's like, oh, I have sleep apnea. And then they start talking about sleep apnea machines. And then it turns out that out of the 8 people sitting at the table, 5 of them had sleep apnea. And all I could think was, wait, you become who you hang out with. I got to get some new friends because I don't want this sleep apnea stuff. This seems
I want to avoid sleep apnea. Yeah, I have it myself.
Oh, my gosh, I'm surrounded.
But I haven't gone and fixed the machine for 5 months, so I don't really use it right now.
Sure. Okay. So it just seems like some weird thing. Like I didn't even heard of sleep apnea until I turned 30 years old and started to have a friend that had it, right?
Right.
Like, that's a thing?
So and then flocking together.
Somebody had to invent a machine to make you sound like Darth Vader and help you breathe, right?
I guess, yeah.
What did people do before that machine? Did they just die?
I guess so.
Or Were they just bad snorers? I don't know. I'm asking.
Reggie White. I mean, cases are high profile.
There's tons. There's tons. I just learned Tony Robbins, one of my idols. He's got sleep apnea.
Really?
I was like, right?
I think you had to be fat to get that.
I don't know the rules.
God knows he's not fat.
Yeah, I don't know the rules. But yeah. it was intriguing to me that so many people that I was sitting around the table with, and these are all successful, super smart,
and
fun guys.
So you think they had it because the other person had it, so it was a domino effect?
I don't know. I think they got they accepted who they were with their crew, right?
Oh, they started to just do what their friends did.
So just think if there'd be some super hotshot macho guy come in there. Let's say he's worth over $5 billion. He's got the cars. He's got girls. He's got whatever, right? And then he shows up and makes friends with these people. Now they either have to try to come up to where his level or they have to try to bring him down.
Right.
And it's way easier to bring people down.
You're right.
These people, if possible, maybe consciously, maybe subconsciously, could try to bring me down to the sleep apnea
thing. Sleep apnea thing. And you're saying, I don't want it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Essentially, I mean, they're cool guys. You just, whatever, right? I'm not saying.
I want a salad and a tall number.
That's right. Right. Just give me the tallest vodka you have. I'm on a diet, right?
No. So I guess. I'm a blonde, but.
It's fair enough. That'll help you burn calories as well. It's all good. My point in saying this is you got a safe place here, right? Safe place. We're all good.
Yes.
My point in saying that is you want to keep track of who you're hanging out with and what you're listening to, because that will affect, consciously or subconsciously, what you turn into.
Yes.
So just think, you have an interesting radio show, right?
I hope so, yes.
You totally do.
Goal.
So just think of all the people that you have on that radio show, and just think for a moment. You had just a solid month of people that were depressed. People just grouchy.
I get a lot of angry callers.
Callers?
Yeah.
Let's say guests. We got to hang out with them for...
Well, the guests are... I try to upgrade that.
Sure.
I mean, not to say the callers are bad, but more positive thinking
totally.
People.
Totally. Yep. So just think of for a month, all the callers were crazy depressed. All the people that were visiting were crazy depressed. They were just end of the world, doom and gloom, grr.
Well, I have that.
By the end of that month...
Chances are,
it's not even worth living.
Right.
What is wrong? Oh, my goodness. But on the flip side, you think, what if the next month, right? You got super upbeat, positive, powerful people are calling in. They're like, freedom in business. Fuck yeah, right? You'd be just like, I'm cool, right? Safe place.
We'll get you to say F eventually.
That's going to be a long road. Anyways, super positive for a month. You can imagine how you'd feel after that, right?
Yes.
And what happened, right? It was just people around
the people.
You.
Well, that's true, yeah.
You had essentially little to no control over it, right? I mean, it's who you invited and stuff like that. But in the end, how they feel during that day, it can be a very positive person.
Or letting the negative person get to you.
Exactly.
Which if you're a pro, you won't do.
Exactly.
But you're human, so it happens.
Yes, exactly. So it's trying to be aware of that. I shouldn't say trying. It's being aware and knowing that you can control how you feel and how other people will bleed onto you, kind of thing, so to speak, not real.
Right. People are triggered by certain words. And
Totally. Yeah. So it's interesting. So in business, you're talking to a lot of people, and business, sometimes those people are positive, and business, a lot of people are not so positive.
Sure. Obviously the person wants to know that there are like 2 million listeners.
Right.
We don't have quite 2 million.
We're a couple shy. We need five more, right?
Right. So you overcome that sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Right?
You know, quality, not quantity.
Well, in the end, if this gets on the internet, right? Or your shows get on the internet.
Well, we hope to sell the business for $1 million in 5 years, but, you know.
There you go. That's goal. Wait. That's a goal, right?
Yeah.
Is that written down?
In my head.
I got a pen. Here you go.
I got a pen right here, too.
Okay. We're not wasting time. You got paper, too.
Should I just, with $1 million or go more, like 5 million?
You tell me what you want and you write it down.
Because we can build this and, you know.
All right, what do we got? We got, okay, $1 million. Now, we got a date, right? What's the date?
5 years.
5 years. So what is that? We're in 2017 now. So 2021, 22?
22, yeah.
All right, 2022. My goodness, I can do math. Wow.
So you think it's important to have goals, obviously, right?
I think it's important to have goals that are written down that you're actually taking actions to achieve. There's tons of people that have dreams or goals or visions.
That's right.
Or grandeur.
Meaningless.
Yeah, they can write them down, throw them in their other pile of paper, and then maybe think about them once in a while. And I wonder why that didn't happen, right? But writing it down, that's step one, right? But we never want to leave writing down a goal without taking some step towards this action.
Yeah.
So what could we do right now that would take even a tiny step towards its achievement? A tiny
right
one.
Now?
Right now. In the studio. You got tons of tools in the studio.
You're here and I'm here with you on your show, so I would ask you, what should I do next?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Who would buy this in 5 years?
Are we putting the end before the middle and before the beginning?
Anytime you make a cake, you know what kind of cake you're going to make, right? You know, like, let's just throw flour and sugar together and see what happens, right? Sometimes I do that with James Surprise. It's what I make for dinner sometimes. That's why I don't cook very often. If you want to know the recipe, it's easy. It's noodles, meat of any sort, tons of cheese, and a binding agent of some kind. Whether that's spaghetti sauce, cream soup, I don't care. Cook, repeat. It's delicious. If you make enough, I made a ton in college, so it can feed you for about a week.
Wow.
That's a great way not to grow.
I mean, women, I've heard they like it when you can cook well as the man.
You know, I will challenge. Sometimes James Surprise is fantastic, and there's other times where you need to add a little, you know, pepper, tons of garlic or something, right? I mean, life goes on. It's food. Yeah. But in the end, what I knew, what I was getting, right? That was my recipe.
Yes.
Kind of.
Right.
Whereas with your cake or your goals.
I should know that we're going to sell for $1 million in 5 years.
Yes. Yeah. And just like everybody else listening, right? If you're going to have a goal, you want to know your end result.
I'm all about the goal. I'm all over it.
So that's the end game, right? That's essentially your...
That's right.
Your what and your why,
it's
right?
It's the old 1 cent and then two and then four and then eight and then...
Sure.
Pretty soon you got millions of dollars with one penny. Is that the deal?
Sure, let's work it back. We're going to start. We want $1 million, right? We're going to sell for $1 million. So we're going to work that backwards. In order for this business to have a valuation of around $1 million in 5 years, what has to happen?
20 podcasters a week to start.
20 podcasters a week. Write that down. He's like, son of a bitch, I didn't know I'd be writing.
Well, it was in my head for a long time.
Total. And how close have you gotten to achieving it?
Well, we're closer.
We are today.
We're on the 5-yard line, but we're not on the 3-yard line.
Okay, 5-yard which direction here?
We have 95 yards to go.
Okay.
Maybe we're on the 10.
Man, we can finish this right now.
Could be on the 10.
All right. Fair enough. So you need 20 podcasters a week. Yeah, yeah. And how close are you to that?
I said we're on the 10-yard line. We have not enough.
Okay, not enough.
We have a handful.
So, and you know what it takes to get some more, right? And 20 is not that big of a number.
Keep begging, I guess. You know, keep asking, persuading and asking, yeah.
The name of the game is sales, right, in anything you do.
That's right.
I don't care if you're a state worker or if you're a garbage person or if you're actually called a salesperson or account executive, as you want to be called now, right? Yeah. Everyone's in sales.
Just beggar, peddler, those are fine with me. Yeah.
Sure. So 20 podcasters, 20 is not a huge number, right?
No.
But you're talking 20 podcasters a week, and I imagine most podcasters, are they broadcasting weekly or monthly?
One a week.
Okay.
Would be the goal. We have some that do that, but not enough.
Sure.
Some go once a month or once every whatever.
Sure.
But obviously we need to fill up that tennis court.
Yep.
Then you begin, it's a wider net. Then you can breathe and maybe worry, you know, not worry about going out of business in 10 days.
Sure.
Now it's, you know, 10 weeks or 10 months or 10 years, right? And then, of course, we sell more. Ads, and it builds up.
Right.
But also you're building as you connect with people who care about local issues and local events or whatever.
Sure.
Then you have them tell their friends because they care about them, and you know, it's a
sure.
Like the penny that doubles.
So the 20 podcasters a week.
Yeah.
I don't know this answer, so you have to tell me, or maybe you don't know the answer. Is that a realistic number?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. And are you basing that on... think it is, or you actually know about
the podcast? Well, I think based on the early response, based on our history in the market and...
Perfect. Well, okay.
Name ID.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Is 30 podcasters a week
possible? Well, that's hard because we have no hours in the day.
Gotcha. Okay, so
I got to change my show to a different time. Yeah, I mean, we can do more than 20, but it becomes...
So 20 is the number.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Is that saying right to you, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
20 is a good number right now.
So what if you just took a, you got a printer here?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Oh. So what if you just took a piece of paper, and as your action, we just write a huge 20 with a big old magic marker, or just type it in Word and font size of 300, and just print out the number 20 and just hang that up by the clock here?
I'm all for it, yeah.
So then every morning, you're doing your show, you see that 20.
We got one more. We got, you know, five or
right?
six. Or...
Perfect, perfect. And you, oh, you got, look at that. He's got a
magic
marker.
Oh, my God,
marker.
He's got a marker. Yeah.
The power of Sharpies. I tell you.
I like your energy level.
This is, there's nothing, nothing that I believe that cannot be solved with, let's call it, a magic marker and a piece of paper and two people.
Wow.
Nothing. So.
I'm all ears. Because that whole work for somebody else, you know what job stands for? Just above broke.
I hope my employees aren't listening to this. That's hurtful.
No, but,
I get what
you know
you're
what
saying.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. I don't want to color in this 20 because this magic marker is dying. But here, we can just put that right by the clock there. And now this is what's going to happen. We're going to show this. We've got a number 20 here, if everyone can see this over
here.
It's
a good
air,
20,
right?
too. You did a good job.
So, I'm at school for graphic design. What are you going
to
do?
My neck is 20 right now, which is bad. Nice. See, I want that to be like 15.
But that's you can work on that, right?
It's a different 20.
You have to write that down. That'll be a different different point there.
Right.
So, the idea is that every time you see that 20, you're going to think, oh, should I make that phone call or should I send that email? And you're going to look up that 20 and you'll be like, I got it. I haven't achieved that 20 yet. I know I want to achieve it. I know when I want to achieve it by, and I probably will not do that. I will not achieve that if I don't take the actions necessary. So every once in a while when you're tired, you're like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it some other day, whatever. Now you look at that 20 and you know, I got to do this. Because realistically, what are we?
Positive reinforcement, B.F. Skinner?
Sure.
Yeah.
Call it whatever you want.
Sociology in college.
Call it a kick in the pants. Call it a reminder of what you're doing this
get
stuff
for.
Get
off your backside.
Yeah. Just get to work, right? And that works for any goal that you're looking at, right?
I like it. I'm all for it, by the way.
Just break it down to a simple number or...
Just don't stop until you get the 20.
Correct.
No.
Correct. And then when you reach the 20, then you start finding people to buy, right?
Well, then you, you know, you got to, you change the model, I guess. The business model would change.
Business
sell more advertising at that point, or you
sure.
do more revenue enhancement in other ways.
Right. Well, a lot can change in 5 years, so that's you go down that road if you need to, right?
Yeah.
But a lot can happen. Somebody pays $1 million.
Well, then you increase the rental of the tennis court.
Perfect. Perfect. There you go.
Yeah.
Supply and demand. I love it. Right. I love it. So we don't have a ton of time left. So let's chat about something that's quick here. I want you. Oh, let's see here. We got secrets to success. You've been around for a while. Do you have any secrets to success?
Don't do what I've been doing for 55 years.
That's
yeah, do something else.
So I want to tell you a quick story that relates to that. My dad, right? I love my dad to death. He's a cool guy, but he's the dad that just about every other kid had, right? His dad was working a lot, so he wasn't around. He had his own business. It was a milk delivery business, right? Mm-hmm. Milk delivery business, hard work. You got milk that you're shuffling to restaurants and schools, like those little half pints of milk and stuff like that. Restaurants and bars, all gallons of milk.
Right.
It's hard work, right? Just like any beer delivery, soda delivery, anything, any just delivery, right?
Yes.
It's hard work. So he owned this business. He essentially owned a job where he was delivering milk to all these places, right? We lived in the metropolis of Bloomer, Wisconsin, the rope jump capital of the world.
Eau Claire, north of Eau Claire.
You got it. Yeah. You got it. So, yeah, that's crazy that you know that. Don't go there. Anyways.
No, I'd go to Cornell.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So we actually delivered milk there, right?
Yeah.
So he's delivering milk, and he's got five kids, right? And he's got to feed these five kids. He had jobs before, but in the 80s, the economy had a little bit of, had some good times and had some not so good times. So he got let go a few times, just downsized and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, he said a business is the solution. So he ends up at this business. He's got this milk delivery business. He's beating himself up because it's just physical work, right? In the summertime, you're going from a 36-degree cooler to a 90-degree heat and back and forth probably 100 times during the day.
Right.
You're driving. It's weird what these restaurants have for where to access their coolers and stuff like that. Thinking of people accessing them was not in the architect's plan. It's just weird how they do that. So, anyways, that alone, right, owning a job was mistake number one that I saw him doing. And he didn't know at the time, and there's certainly pride in owning a job, right? Because you own your own business. Well, essentially, I guess, like what you got going on, right?
Yeah.
Only you can do what you do. So there's only one Mitch Hank, right?
Which is probably good for the world.
So yeah. I mean, it'd be tough to get a sub, and just like me, I'm a business coach, right? So there's... there's the business that I'm in. I'm like, hey, get it set up so that you can be a business owner instead of just self-employed. But here
right.
I am
yeah.
self-employed in this business, right? I got another business where I'm business owner. Anyways, the point is that my dad is busting his ass
yes.
delivering all this milk
right.
for, I think he did it almost 30 years. Almost 30 years.
Uh-huh. And so the mistake was?
Mistake number one was he was a business owner, right? But he was also self-employed, which means that he had himself a bad day. At one point, we're having a conversation. My sister, I think a couple of sisters and I, having a conversation with my dad. We're like, so, Dad, how's it going? And he's like, oh, I actually passed out the other day. It was kind of weird. And we're like, oh, you passed out? What was that all about? He was like, oh, it wasn't too big of a deal. I pulled over. And I said, right? What do you mean you pulled over? And he's like, well, it was in the middle of the day. I was driving the truck. And so he's got this truck, you know, a better part of, let's call it 40,000 pounds of iron and milk cruising down the highway. And he felt this little passing out thing coming on. So he pulled over. Thank God, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, that's weird. You should probably get that looked at. And he's like, oh, it's no big thing. It's only happened a few times.
Only happened a few times. Dad.
So we're like, like, we're concerned for you as a human, right? You're our dad. We want you to be safe and all that kind of stuff. There's also other people on the interstate and right. on the highways that did not get the choice of, hey, I got to keep working my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from his point of view, he had to just muscle through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he wasn't going to deliver the milk, somebody else is going to have to deliver that milk, and that somebody else didn't exist.
Right.
Which means that his competition would step in there. Because mm-hmm. the restaurant's not going to say, hey, sorry, we don't have any milk. I guess you can't get that, right? They're going to find it somewhere. The school's not going to say, hey, sorry, Johnny, you don't have any chocolate milk today. The milk guy couldn't make it, right? It just wouldn't happen.
Right.
So what happened there was, it turns out he has a bladder infection. He has to go into the hospital. He's in the hospital for a few weeks, right? Luckily, he had one employee that was running a different route, and that employee stepped up his game so that he was actually running two routes at once. And he had some help from my brother-in-law and my other brother, a little bit of help as much as they could, but people had to help him maintain so that his business stayed existing, right?
Yes.
So all that happened, and if they wouldn't have stepped up their game, my dad would have lost his business, in effect, when he got the bladder infection.
Right.
So there's your freedom in business, right? So you want to build it up to the point where you can sustain without being necessary.
Great point. Let's strike one of our employees. By the way, I didn't mean to insult employees because I
was totally.
One, and I
yep, understand.
Maybe Michael have his own business. I'm, you know, we're
nice.
All here, we're all here to learn, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. And he's
place.
Young, so
tons of time for mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I had fun here, Mitch. This is awesome.
Well, it's great, and it's the James Kateman Show on MadisonTalks.com. I'll be the announcer for you.
Perfect.
And I learned a lot, and I'm sure there's more to learn because you are the man on business, which is important for people to do because otherwise they'll be an employee the rest of their lives.
That's
or
right.
Or they'll be unemployed, which would be worse.
You got it.
So hopefully we'll see you again soon.
I'll be here. So it's James Kateman over at drawincustomers.com. Feel free to visit me at drawincustomers.com on the fancy website. Thanks.
Drawincustomers.com, and you can hear his podcast forever on madisontalks.com.
You bet. Perfect.